when you give the customer what they want, they're going to come back for more. So by enabling them to resell their clothes via your own system in a very easy, enhanced way, they will associate that ease, that flexibility, that great experience with your brand, which is adding another layer of loyalty that you just never had before.
You're listening to the Keep Optimizing Podcast to increase your traffic, improve your conversion rates, and grow your profits.
Hello and welcome. I'm Chloe Thomas, the host of this e-commerce marketing focused podcast. If you're not familiar, well, what we do on Keep Optimizing is every 5 episodes, we switch our focus to a different marketing method. It could be email or SEO or Facebook ads, and we pick up the thread from the last time we covered it. And each episode, we release a new one every Wednesday. I interview a different expert to explore the latest advice on making it work for you. Would you like to be one of our expert podcast stars? Well, I'm chatting to this guest because she filled in our guest application form to let me know she would love to share this topic with all of you. If you've got a marketing tactic or strategy you think our audience needs to hear about, please do put your hat in the ring for a future episode at keepopt.com/guest. Okay, at the moment, we are picking up our customer retention thread. So we're doing 5 whole episodes on customer retention. It's technically the first time we've done a whole mini series on it, but we've obviously done quite a lot of it in the past as well. So in this episode, we are exploring the potential of secondhand goods to build customer retention in your business. I'm chatting with a lady who's been deep in this world across a couple of different solutions for a few years now, and we are going to be talking through why it builds retention, how you can make sure it builds retention. We're going to be talking about the key things you need to think about before going down this route. Which businesses does it work for? How to do your research to see if resale could work for you? We'll be talking about how the tech side of it is now pretty easy, but the non-tech side of it is pretty complicated. And make sure you listen to the end of the episode because my guest has some brilliant insider tips to share with you at the end of the episode, including mentioning a learning tactic that, quite frankly, we should be talking about in every episode and haven't for ages. So you've got to listen for that. And then I'll be sharing some other ways we can help you improve your customer retention at the end too. So make sure you listen right the way through. Are you drowning in retention tactics and Klaviyo flows, but still can't prove with certainty which ones actually bring customers back? You are suffering from the retention clarity gap. Brands like Health, Heights, and Kilo Health trust Yocto to fix it. Yocto help you go from "we think it's working" to "we know it's working," so you can finally prove your impact. Head to keepopt.com/Yocto to get a personalized retention playbook that actually makes sense to your execs. That's keepopt.com/Yocto. In this episode, I'm chatting with customer retention expert Lydia Hartley. Lydia is co-founder at Continue, a software solution that enables brands to launch their own resale marketplace. Continue is already in use by 22 brands, including Throughdark, BAM, and Hayley Menzies. Hello, Lydia.
Hi, Chloe. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm really excited we've managed to include a level of sustainability in our customer retention series. So thank you so much for applying to be that guest. How did you end up, though, in the world of customer retention?
Yeah, thank you for having me on as well. It's great to be here. So how I got into this space is quite a long story. So I've had a squiggly career. I won't bore you with all the details now, but I started my career actually in media agencies. I worked at a WPP agency called Mindshare to begin with. I was working with lots of different kind of retail fashion brands there, including M&S, Diesel, Rolex. Moved away from working in agencies and towards tech businesses, working at a company called Darktrace, actually quite a well-known kind of UK tech unicorn now. And I was building marketing partnerships there actually between, and a big partnership that I built was between McLaren Racing and Darktrace, and kind of creating these mutually beneficial partnerships and relationships that could help boost the profile of both businesses. And that's where I've really kind of dug my teeth into this idea of partnerships and how that can be used to drive retention and awareness and brand love as well. I was working there and I actually decided that I wanted to start a hobby, which was this clothes swapping kind of side hustle initiative, which is how I got into the whole sustainable fashion space to begin with. Lockdown happened during that period when I was at Darktrace, and the events that I was hosting, these clothes swapping events, were doing super well, but I had to close them down. And I always wanted to be in sustainable fashion, and I loved e-commerce and retail, loved like all the developments that are happening in this space. So I decided that I was going to build this like clothes swapping platform basically during lockdown. I did it in a very scrappy way of all the savings that I made during the lockdown period when I was living with my mum and dad. And that did well. It kind of blew up on TikTok. Lots of Gen Zers started using that platform. And I got investment. I started running the business. I joined a tech accelerator called Darktrace, but came into some difficulties with monetizing that whole system of swapping clothes for clothes. Then I met my co-founders, Harry and Richie, who were building Continue, which is the business that we're working on today. And I really loved what they were doing, which was really focusing on how we could help brands to enter the pre-loved market, but also how we could help their customers to really access and utilize resale in a way that was really easy for them and to make it even more streamlined than it currently is today. And how can we help those businesses? And we're really focusing on the kind of SME businesses in this space, like brands that have lean teams, basically. How can we help them really take advantage and capitalize on all this post-purchase activity that's taking place on other marketplaces out there? You know, Vinted's booming, eBay, Depop, all the rest of them, they've just been growing exponentially. And there's such a big opportunity for brands to really take control of this activity and bring it in-house and really use it as a way of building that brand love and loyalty and using it as a customer retention tool, basically. So we've really developed the product to align with that, as well as other ways that we can also help the brand, which, you know, we can or can't go into depending on how much time we have. But yeah, that's kind of the general story of it. And we've been going for about 3 years now at Continue.
Cool. So you mentioned, I feel like if we were chatting 6 months ago, 12 months ago, this would be a conversation about sustainability and lowering carbon footprints via the mechanism of, you know, kind of playing around with secondhand clothing that your customers have of your product. Now in 2025, this has been proven to be a way of improving customer retention.
Yeah.
And I think it's so cool that we're now going, actually, this is a retention strategy. It's not really it is a sustainability strategy, but it's a retention strategy first and foremost. Mm. What sort of impact can having a platform marketplace that enables your customers to resale the products they've already bought from you? What kind of impact can that have on a business's retention, lifetime value, those kind of things?
Yeah, absolutely. So just to like briefly tell you how it works. So essentially, like, there's a little lots of different ways that you can have resellers part of your business model. You can have peer-to-peer marketplaces like the ones that we power. You can have take-back schemes. You can have buy-back schemes. There's lots of different ways that you can implement this. I'm not saying any type of one is the best one for your business. That would be like kind of for you to explore and to talk to different partners out there. The way that we see it really driving that value for businesses that we work with as well is really how can we reward people when they sell their items via your own resale platform with store credit that they can then go back and spend on your website. So instead of allowing them to go, you know, sell their items on Vinted, sell them on eBay, really lose out on all that opportunity to get them back into your brand, allow them to sell via your marketplace. And when they sell that item, for example, if I wanted to sell a jumper that I bought from the brand for £100, if I sell that item for £100, I could get £100 in store credit given to me by that brand that then go back and spend on their website. The interesting thing is, for a lot of the brands that we work with, customers are normally selling items which are lower in value to what is actually selling new on the website. So say I get a gift voucher for £100, but most items on the website are £150, I'm going to go and spend £150 on the website and actually spend above the store credit amount that I'm given. For example, we work for a handbag brand called Sarah Harron. They see that customers normally go and spend four times more than the store credit they're given when they sell their items. So it's really an interesting way of getting people back to your store and back in spending money when you could have just lost them. Another thing as well is that we personally, and I know other players also do this, is that we have email automation built into the product as well. So we can hook into your Klaviyo account, for example, and build out email flows that will enable us to prompt customers to engage in the platform, which obviously helps the marketplace to run independently, but it can also help brands to re-engage lapsed customers. For example, if a customer hasn't bought from you for 12 months and they bought something, you know, let's just say a handbag, you can message that person and say, hey, Chloe, see you've owned that handbag for 12 months. Do you want to resell it? Here's a link directly to the listing where you can sell that bag. All you have to input is the condition it's in and the price point. When you sell it, you get store credit, go back, spend it on the brand's website. So it's really trying to bring those lapsed customers, bring those customers that haven't engaged with you in a while back to the site and giving them a real reason to do that and creating these additional touch points as well for them to engage with your brand and driving that loyalty piece as well.
Seems to me like there's lots of different angles for how having a secondhand marketplace can leverage or enable a brand to create greater retention. It gives us more to talk about to our customers because you know, as you said, you can set up all those flows that enable them to go, oh, I've got credit. Oh, I could, it's been a year. Maybe I want to sell that or whatever that might be. And it's always good to have stuff to talk about that isn't sell, sell, sell. We've got the angle of I've got credit, you know, and how many of us ever take our credit voucher and only spend the credit amount?
Yeah.
So it's like another very cool way to get someone to come back and buy again. Is there also an element of kind of making the customers feel special? I feel like if it's a program that's being run by the brand rather than being run on Vinted or one of the other platforms, it should be easier for the customer and should enable the brand to kind of build a stronger relationship. I know it's really hard to measure that, but presumably there's a relationship building element that goes on in here too.
Yeah, definitely. I think what a lot of brands need to realize, and I think a lot of them do realize, is when you give the customer what they want, they're going to come back for more. Like, they'll be happy. They'll be so grateful that you are helping them do something that they want to do and actually accomplish something and actually make money for themselves, which is a very powerful sentiment, you know. So by enabling them to resell their clothes via your own system in a very easy, enhanced way, which takes a couple of clicks, you know, in a lot of cases, they will associate that ease, that flexibility, that great experience with your brand, which is adding another layer of loyalty that you just never had before. You know, it's not about just selling something to them. It's actually reinforcing what your brand stands for and helping them to engage on a deeper level. And also, like, you know, you're also helping customers to engage with each other as well, which is also providing another layer of kind of meaning as well. You know, it's not just about being part of a community where you're engaging with the brand directly, is also how can you engage with other people within that brand? And that's creating even more excitement to be part of that. I mean, you see so many brands nowadays where they have whole Facebook groups that the customers have set up where they're literally talking directly to each other, writing paragraphs about the things that they bought from this brand and why they love it and why they're getting rid of it, taking photos, you know, actually putting in quite a lot of effort compared to like Vinted where you're just like selling something and putting up a listing and that's that. So it's really about how can you bring that into your fold and into your ecosystem and into your brand world and own that customer for as long as possible by providing them that value back.
So it's not if we want to make it really work for us, it's not a flick a switch, turn it on and let it do it itself. You've got to integrate this into the rest of your marketing strategy, the rest of your customer experience strategy. It's, you know, like historically we'd say, you can't just slot in a points program,
yeah,
turn it on and hope it's going to deliver for you. You've got to put a bit of strategy behind making this work with your other channels and everything if it's going to succeed. Is that what you've been finding?
Yeah, we see that for sure. We see that brands definitely need quite a lot of support on that element because it is quite new territory for a lot of them. But when they get it right, they can drum up so much excitement with their customers. I mean, there's so many opportunities to engage with different types of customers within their communities now, for example. I mean, brands have VIP customers that they have on WhatsApp groups. Some of them are doing webinars with their VIP customers where, you know, you can really get them excited, tell them about what you're launching, get their feedback in real time and adjust the offering too in that respect. You can do it via Instagram channels. You know, you have like separate channels for your community. Obviously, posting on socials is such a significant aspect of it. But email marketing is where we really see you being able to drive the engagement as well as like kind of announcing it to your community. And also like it provides brands with way more leverage and more talking points throughout the year. You know, it's Secondhand September. We have our resale program. What can you do around that? It's Earth Day coming up. What can you do around that? So there's like lots of different other elements of the calendar that you can really leverage for your own means to drive resale, but also to tell the story of your brand and the narrative that you're trying to create. And I think that's really powerful for the customers to really see.
And in this time where we need more things to talk about with our customers. It's like, here's a whole host. You could come up with something every month and that's going to make a massive improvement to your promo calendar. I guess the interesting contradiction here is that the tech side of it has become so much easier than it was a couple of years ago, you know, to make the whole tech infrastructure work with this arguably, you know, historically we would have thought very, very complex thing to add into a business. But the necessity of how we actually make it deliver has become more complicated. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think with the rise of Shopify, you know, most brands, particularly smaller, medium-sized brands being on Shopify, and there being so many apps in that ecosystem, as well as so many technologies that can plug in into that infrastructure and make it very easy for them to integrate. It's never been easier to launch your own pre-loved marketplace or whatever resell program you want to enforce. I think brands do struggle more with how they communicate it because it's just new to them. And a lot of brands already are super busy and they're trying to figure out like where it goes and like when they have time to enforce this into their calendar and when it makes sense with new lines coming out, new collections coming out, you know, Christmas, Black Friday. There is a lot of things that they're talking about already, but it could really be enhanced with this sustainability messaging. The number of Shopify stores increased by 33% last year, which just shows that the barriers to entry in this space are just so low now that people can launch a fashion brand if they want to, you know, in a month, 2 months, 3 months. So how are brands really standing out and building that loyalty with their customers through their communications and through the services that they're offering to?
Yeah, and it's... you have to have a customer retention strategy now. Whether or not it's resale, you've got to have something that makes you stand out from the others. Now, another super big question I need to ask you is, in the intro, I mentioned three of the awesome brands that you're already working with, Three Dark Bam and Hailey Menzies. Now, all three of those are fashion, and I totally get fashion in the resale space. If someone listening isn't in fashion or whatever sector they're in, which sectors do you find this works for, doesn't work for? Is there anyone you just go, do not do this, whatever you do not do this? Or are there others that like, this is a slam dunk opportunity?
Yeah, so we've started with fashion because there's a couple of reasons. Because people cycle through clothes so quickly, it makes a lot of sense of fashion because people are turning over their wardrobe. They have like a craving for newness. So it's likely that people are going to be more engaged with marketplaces or resale programs, you know, if they have it as part of their kind of like wardrobe and what they're doing around that. And we do it on a couple of different criteria and whether it's going to make sense for the brand. So their secondhand community already, how big is that? How many people are listing? How many new listings do they get a month? Like how quickly is it growing? We kind of really assess that for them and we build a report on that, which is always quite interesting.
So literally go and look at Vinted at the other platforms and see, is anyone already selling your product?
Yeah, literally you can type in your brand into Vinted and see how many listings there's been across the whole of time. And then you can actually see, we actually do this, but we can see how many have been listed in a day, in a week, in a month. And then we can kind of see how quickly it's growing, essentially. And it's only getting faster as well. So it's been quite interesting seeing the rate of growth too when it comes to these platforms. We also think about like how I guess, high quality as your product as well? Like, can it be passed through multiple owners? And that's really important, because if brands are promoting a marketplace or a resale initiative on their website and their items are falling apart after one person owning them, it doesn't look great on the brand. So it needs to have that longevity built into the core of the product, because then brands have a really interesting narrative to say, which is, if you buy this item, it's going to stand the test of time. And guess what? If you buy the item, you can resell it later down the line for quite a significant price point. So it's making them more likely to buy it new in the first place, but that not a discount, and also helping them to resell it. And again, having that that experience as well, and reflecting well on the brand too. We see it works really nicely for items that you maybe even wear once or twice. Kids wear, only wearing it, they're growing out of it very quickly. Bridal wear is a massive market. You know, brides are getting rid of their dresses. You know, they don't keep them any longer. People are living in tiny flats in London. They're not keeping their wedding dresses anymore. They're not keeping it for their daughters. They're wanting to resell it. Cycling wear, ski wear, all these things where you might wear it once or twice a year and you might want a new design next year is where we see it really working. We've also seen toys, bikes, scooters, little kids' scooters. Like, we've had like traction and engagement with that with brands, and that's a lot of things happening on Vinted, and that's a growing market for that. So I would say it works really well for things that can be, I guess, transported in the post very easily. Obviously, the more bulky the item, the more complicated it gets. But I would say it's really important that you have that quality piece in there as well, and making sure that that market's there for you already to really leverage and communicate with to get going.
Yeah, it does seem like product quality and customer appetite are kind of like the two hard ones. But the good thing is, these days it's fairly easy to work the answers out on those ones, because you should know about your product quality already, and you can quite easily see on existing platforms, is there any appetite for it? So some, possibly a cheeky question, hopefully not a cheeky question. Some of the resale systems I've seen are about brands buying the product off the customer. Mm-hmm. Processing and vetting the product and then selling it on in some way or another.
Yeah.
And other ones are more kind of peer-to-peer, where the brand facilitates and the customers send it directly to each other. So there's not that ops, not that physical ops side of thing. There's still plenty of ops, but there's not the physical ops side of thing on the brand. I guess, A, which one do you guys specialize in? And secondly, how does a brand work out which one of those to go for? Have you got any insights on that?
Yeah, so you're right. There are different ways about going about it. So we focus on the peer-to-peer aspect of it. So we're purely peer-to-peer. So similar to Vinted, like, it works very much in that kind of like arena of customers buying and selling from each other. If you want to have a take-back scheme, that definitely is an option. And it definitely provides, I think, more of the luxury brands more of an opportunity to take that product in, make sure the condition's good, clean it up. If you have it on your website, it looks amazing. Like, it has that real like quality, and they're able to control the experience in a lot more of a granular way, which I think works for certain brands, especially if you really, really care about that experience. I think peer-to-peer works really well for brands that are lean. They don't have loads and loads of time to be setting up these take-back schemes, even if they're working with a second, you know, partner in the space, third-party partner, because they still have to manage it for you. That still takes costs. They still have to hold it in a warehouse. They have to fulfill it for you. There's a cost every time someone buys something. Whereas with the peer-to-peer aspect, obviously I'm biased, but it enables you to have resale and build it out. So it's a very scalable model. There's no operations associated with the brand. Customers are buying and selling from each other. They're shipping it directly. And we found that a lot of brands are worried about, okay, well, what if it arrives and it's not great condition? Then the customer's annoyed and it reflects badly on us as a brand. But what we say to that is, they are knowingly engaging with another customer in this relationship. It's not reflected on the brand necessarily. They're talking directly to the customer. It's very like Vinted, you can communicate like that. And customers, we found that they are very transparent about the condition their item is in, because it's within their interest to make sure that it is they're saying it is, because otherwise that customer's just going to return it to them and they won't get that sale. So it's a lot better for them to say, hey, you know, it isn't perfect. Like, I've worn it a lot of times. Here's where I'm showing that it's kind of like, you know, a bit worn or whatever. And we found that's a lot more successful. But yeah, it's very much depends on the brand and how much control they want to have over that process and what matters to them more, like not having the headache and the cost associated with that, or having that risk of potentially something arriving and not being exactly as described, and that may be reflecting on their brand, but unlikely to.
Nicely explained. As you're saying it, I was like, all right, I can see the big fashion houses wanting to buy it all back themselves to maintain the quality, to control when it is and isn't available. You know, I can see them doing like, we have 1 week in July when we open the outlet and that's it or something.
Yeah, we could do a drop or like, yeah, creating that FOMO and everything as well, yeah.
But for the vast majority of brands, the peer-to-peer just takes out so many of the potential issues and pain points. So great explanation. Thank you. Lydia, before we move into the insider tips round, is there anything we've failed to cover that the audience, anyone considering adding this as a strategy in 2025, needs to know about? Or have we covered it all?
Yeah, I think I would, if I was a brand currently, I would really think about doing your research on this area, really looking into how your community is engaging around this. What hype do you have already on the pre-love market? If your items are selling for a significant amount of money and not that much of a discount on these marketplaces, there could be a massive opportunity to really highlight this on your website and showcasing to your customers that they can resell this later down the line. Drive that customer retention by providing that opportunity for them to do so, and driving that loyalty and driving excitement around the products that you're selling as well, and reinforcing the quality of them. So I would just do your research, think about it, and then really think about what matters to you the most and what model you think would realign with your objectives and really the capacity of your team as well.
Nice. Okay, it's been a pleasure picking your brains about resale as a customer retention strategy. Listeners, remember to stay tuned right to the end so you don't miss out on Lydia's insider tips on customer retention and my suggestions for more free resources to help you improve things even further in your business. Founder to founder, are you really sure which of your retention efforts are driving repeat purchases? Or are you just hoping your Klaviyo flows and loyalty programs are doing their job? That's the retention clarity gap, and it's what's holding you back from real measurable growth. Founders at brands like Health and Heights trust Yocto to cut through the noise and show them exactly what's working. If you're ready to stop guessing and start scaling smarter, go to keepopt.com/Yocto to get a personalized retention playbook that actually makes sense. That's keepopt.com/Yocto. Okay, Lydia, so far we've gone deep into resale as a customer retention strategy. Now you get to wow us with your insider knowledge about the whole of customer retention. So for the following questions, your answer can be anything to do with customer retention, which of course does include all the stuff we've already been talking about. Lydia, are you ready for these?
I am super ready.
Cool. Super, we like super ready. Okay. Let's start with newbie advice. If we've inspired someone to take their first step, what do they need to know to give themselves the best chance of success?
Yeah, so like I just said, Chloe, earlier in the conversation, I'd really think about exploring resale as a concept and how your community is already engaging in the space. So I would look to check out platforms like Vinted, eBay, Facebook Marketplace, even check out what the kind of engagement's like, the sentiment is like, how many likes are your items getting on these listings that customers are making? Are they getting any comments? Are the customers super engaged and really excited about your brand on these marketplaces? Is there an appetite? You could even ask your community on the likes of Instagram, Facebook, TikTok even, you know, if we launch this, would you engage and why? And why would that be meaningful to you and important to you? And I think getting that feedback from the community could be a really helpful way of gauging if this is a worthwhile thing doing now for your brand and if it's right for you.
Excellent. Love that. Love the fact you're repeating that, because that is like so critical. Yeah.
I think it's just
does anyone want to sell it?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's just, yeah, it's a good starting point for sure.
Cool. Okay. Once you've started, of course, you've got to keep optimizing. So what's your favorite way to improve performance?
Yeah. So we actually, in our business, actually handle all customer service for the brands that we work with. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to provide your partner with access to your customers and the customer service too, but that's just how we do it. But I would really make sure that you are listening to that customer service, kind of the complaints or the comments or the feedback as much as possible, to really hear how your customers are engaging and what they want from that marketplace as well. And that can really inform what you need to optimize and what you need to build on, essentially. And it really helps to refine that marketplace experience and also helps to listen to your customers and what they're really looking for when they're looking to engage in this type of activity as well.
So that good old solid piece of advice, everybody, listen to your customers. Yeah. Just because it's resale doesn't mean you can ignore them.
Yeah. Having a WhatsApp group as well, like, and the webinars, like I mentioned earlier, like that was crazy. Like we've never experienced anything like that where we've had 100 customers on telling us how to improve something or what they want from it. So I think it's a really powerful initiative that brands can do, is creating these webinars or WhatsApp groups with the best customers you have who are super engaged, to get their feedback and their thoughts as well.
Oh, two-way conversations, scary. If someone listening wants to learn more, is there a cheap or free resource you'd recommend them taking a look at?
Yeah, so I don't know if this is like really obvious, but I basically just have Google Alerts on and I have like key terms that come up every single day into my inbox. I get the digest one, so they all come up together, but like circular fashion, resale, rental, repair, all these keywords, like just so you get all of the articles telling you, you know, what's hot in this arena right now, what partners are out there, what are brands doing, what, you know, results are they seeing as well. I think that's a really good resource to have and quite a simple one. I also follow someone called Lydia Burley on LinkedIn. I don't know if you've heard of her, Chloe, but mm-hmm. She gives great weekly roundups of sustainable fashion news, resale news as well. And I always, like, it's every Monday and I literally always have that at the top of my LinkedIn newsfeed.
Yeah, she creates such a good update. It's like, I barely find the time to read it every week, which I know is a horrible thing to admit, but it's so good, so good. And Google Alerts, we should be mentioning that more often on here.
Simple hack, you know?
Yeah, especially in a space that's evolving so fast as it, you know, the strategies and the how we make this work at the moment. So I guess re-commerce, resale.
Yeah, branded resale. I mean, we help with excess stock inventory. Like you can just do ones around that as well.
Nice.
Resale tech, like those sort of kind of keywords you could definitely leverage.
And as with everything, everybody, don't just set up your Google Alerts and ignore them. You have to optimize your keywords if you want it to deliver. Both getting rid of the bad keywords and adding in the good keywords. Finally, crystal ball time. What's coming up in the next 6 to 12 months that we should be getting ready for?
Yeah, I think that we're going to see a lot more startup brands incorporating resale into their business model from the get-go. We've already seen it. Brands reaching out who are a little bit too small for our product, but who are wanting to have resale there from the beginning, which has been really interesting and also quite exciting to see that the new, I guess, round of business owners coming up and saying, yeah, like this is the future and I see that being part of the future and I want to have this circular model in there from the get-go. And I really want to stand out in the market by having this as part of my strategy from the get-go as well. I also think that we're going to see a big fragmentation of the market where you're going to have a lot more brands setting up resale. So customers aren't just going to be going to the likes of Vinted or eBay or Depop. They're going to be engaging with these separate communities that have their own resale platforms as part of that, because they want to be part of that community, because they want to feel something when they are engaging in this. And the easier the brands can make it for them to engage in that, the more it will happen. So I really see that's going to happen. And there's going to be hundreds of thousands of marketplaces out there. Maybe not in the next 12 months, but it's definitely coming very quickly.
I love that idea of the fragmentation of the market, because I think, like, you know, you hear all the stuff about the tax implications of selling on Vinted, which you can quite quickly hit the thresholds and you think, right, okay, so if I could get credit instead via the top 5 stores I spend the most money in,
yeah,
then how much would it make sense to do those 5 and then random stuff ends up on the bigger platforms. I can really see a consumer habit shift in the way that, you know, there's some things we'll only buy new, but the rest of it we'll get secondhand or...
Yeah, exactly. Well, because also people are setting up alerts on the likes of Vinted for their favorite brands. So they'll have an alert. For example, one of my favorite brands is Peachy Den. I have an alert on my phone which tells me when Peachy Den secondhand comes up in my size. So if Peachy Den could do a similar thing with their brand, where they also have a similar thing of like kind of really prompting customers to engage, then I don't see why people wouldn't just go there, sell their item, and then get something new to wear from that brand. They know it's in their size. They like the brand already. They already have that loyalty ingrained in them. So yeah, I think it's going to change the game, honestly.
Yeah, and a whole new profit center too. Right, Lydia, we are very nearly at the end of the show. So for the listeners who are listening going, I need to ask Lydia questions, or I need to find out more about Lydia's business, how can they do those things, please?
Yes. So you can find us at continue.co. That's our website. And if you're ever interested in having a chat or seeing how it works, you can always book a demo or book a call and we can have a chat. I'm also Lydia Hartley on LinkedIn. If you want to DM me and ask any questions, happy to talk about resale, what might be the best strategy for you as well and your brand. And if you, you know, think that I think it's going to work for you guys as well, based on what we've seen with other brands too. So really excited to chat to everyone that's interested. And yeah, please follow up if you are.
Of course, that's continue.co, everybody, if you want to find out more. Lydia, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been awesome chatting customer retention and resale with you. So thanks for sharing so much with us all.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. And yeah, a pleasure to be here.
So what's the number one reason your brand should be considering a re-commerce scheme, a resale scheme, a take-back scheme, a peer-to-peer secondhand marketplace? Customer retention. It gives you so many angles on which to build stronger relationships with your customers, have more things to say to them, different comms channels, incentivizing them to come and buy from you again with you offering store credit rather than cash. Loads of reasons why this can help you with your customer retention. And obviously, you've got that ecological part of the piece coming into it because you're taking control of the full lifetime of your products. And as Lydia was saying there, if you're creating products that will last a lifetime, but your customers might not want to use them for a whole lifetime, then this could have a very positive impact on customer purchase as well. If they know they can buy it, use it for 2 years, and then get 50% of the value back through a take back potentially, then it becomes a really, really giving on all angles, I suppose, part of your business. Loads of interesting stuff we discussed there. You can find the links to our discussion, our notes of this, the transcript of the episode and other things at keepoptimizing.com. You can use our special direct episode short link to go directly to the right page on the website. That's keepopt.com/the number of this episode. And when you get to the website, make sure you add yourself to our email list so you don't miss out on any of those things we share to help you improve your business. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Keep Optimizing podcast. If you've enjoyed this episode, then why not have a listen to episode 221, going back a little way there, where we're chatting with Zoe Rosewell from Turn Eco about a similar but different approach to the secondhand market. In her case, it's about, or Zoe's business does take back, where you are taking the goods in. And we're having, in that episode, Zoe and I are having a really, really good chat about secondhand as well. So it clearly builds on this particular episode. So that's episode 221. You could also find our full thread of customer retention content if you want other strategies for customer retention by scrolling up your feed or use the short link keepopt.com/retention to go to the page on the website where we've pulled together all the episodes we've done about retention marketing. Please do also tell your fellow e-commerce marketers about this show, because I want to help as many of you as possible to improve the performance of your e-commerce marketing. Have a great week and make sure you listen to the next episode so I can help you to keep optimizing your marketing.
Access everything Keep Optimizing at keepoptimizing.com. That's with an S, not a Z.
Fix your retention clarity gap now. Get your personalized retention playbook at keepopt.com/yocto.